You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a special Breaking Down the Ring here at Motor City Comic Con, Saturday, 2 p.m. The date is something I don't know. I think it's the 19th. Bob is sitting with us. Bob is the co-founder of Podcast Detroit. We are waiting on Joe to show up. Joe is in line right now for this Comic Con, which it's stupid. First off, let's just talk about the Comic Con. Bob, first, how are you, sir? How's your day going?
I've never been better in all my life, and that was like the worst introduction you could have possibly ever given me in the history of introductions.
No, it's not. Because if I oversell you, then you come off really bad on the show. If I undersell you, you sound fucking spectacular.
All right. I'm in. Undersell the hell out of me.
That's what it does. That's what I am here for, to make you better, unbeknownst to you.
Right.
That's my job.
You just gave me a non-foot stomp left jab, and I'm all about it.
Right. Easily.
I don't know what that means.
You're not allowed really? To be on this show.
That's Dave's voice, everyone. The guy who said he wasn't going to come on because his Van Dyke was too good for the show. And now he's on. So I am sitting here with the co-founders themselves of Podcast Detroit, guys that have put all of this together for us. They make it very possible for us at Breaking Down the Ring to be on a weekly basis. They help us. They put the shows out there. We just sit here and marvel at them.
Hey, man, we're just the platform.
Was that a pun, considering this is Comic-Con? Marvel?
Yeah, it was. And Deadpool 2 came out this weekend.
Haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
Oh, I won't spoil it at all. It was great. Spoiled. A couple people die in the movie. Thugs.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they put all this together for us, man. Honestly, I never on the show have I been able to say this to you guys, but honestly, thank you. And again, Dave, on air, I'm going to re-apologize for asking about things that were already fucking mentioned that I still had to ask questions for.
We've been running a website for 15 years. We're well aware nobody reads.
Yeah, but see, usually I have always prided myself on being one of the ones that don't ask
you usually do.
Questions that are already answered. This time, just fucking slipped. I was an idiot. I was a fucking idiot. So, in the world of wrestling, you know, we did our show a little bit earlier.
The people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups.
Yes, exactly.
The people inside the ring and the marks who support them. These are their stories. Ching, ching.
Dun, dun. Breaking down the ring. SV who? So All In is a wrestling event that's been put on specifically by indie wrestlers.
I saw that.
Cody, don't call him Rhodes, and Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, self-financed everything. In interviews that have come up, people have said, no, we want to finance it for you, and they said no. They literally said no to this, which was nuts. So what they were trying to be is the first ever wrestling event to sell more than 10,000 seats since WCW in, I want to say, 2000. Maybe 1999, late 99, 2000. The closest that has ever done it was TNA when Bully Ray was leading the Aces and Eights in 2008, and they sold over 7,000 tickets at an arena. That was it. And now in less than 30 minutes, Cody and the Bucks sold out the Sears Center Arena in Chicago. 29 minutes, 36 seconds. That's nuts.
No, the brilliance is very underappreciated on how this thing was hyped up before anything was even announced in terms of getting tickets sold.
Yeah.
This thing was sold out before it was sold out.
Yeah.
Like, the hype machine was insane.
Yep.
You know, considering 10,000 tickets, that is not a small feat.
Not at
all. If you look at all the Ring of Honor local events that maybe draw 500, 600 people. NXT that draws, what, 1,500, 2,000 at the Fillmore.
Yeah. No, Royal Oak Music Theater, not even the Fillmore.
You know, I mean, here's
Squared Circle that draws dozens upon dozens.
150 people there. But, like, I look at the Legends of Wrestling show that happened at Fraser Hockeyland drew 3,000.
Yeah.
Right? And all you had was you had some of the Impact Michigan guys wrestling, a few jobbers from the indie scene, and the guys that were, you know, announced on the card that were just in-ring appearances, like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yep.
But, I mean, 3,000. So, I mean...
So, now, how does that compare, like, just taking a step back, how does that compare to that ECW, the House of Hardcore thing we went to with Dreamer? Like, how, like...
That was about 3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a full house.
And yeah. Would you guys go to the Hammerstein Ballroom?
No. This was in the ECW arena.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
It was probably... Actually, it was probably closer to two.
Yeah, there, I don't remember what the attendance was.
There was no risers.
Yeah.
But, man, that was a sea of people.
Yeah. What's crazy about this is literally only one match was announced. And the only match that was announced was because Billy Corgan came out. He's now running NWA. So they have the NWA 10 pounds of gold. And they said, and Billy Corgan said, NWA is going to be a part of this at the press conference. So this is an hour and a half before the tickets go on sale. And he said, and then Cody said, I'm going to be challenging for the NWA title, whoever the champion is at that time. So while a match was announced, you still only know one half of the participants. So that being said, that and they put in Rey Mysterio at that press conference. Everyone else was just a regular indie name. Cody, the Young Bucks, all the Kenny Omega, Okada. I mean,
let's be honest, those aren't regular indie names.
True, but it's nothing that's selling out 10,000 seats anywhere else.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, because when we were talking about it, the show that we did before this, we said they have to get a name like CM Punk, who is a Chicago guy, to sell 10,000 tickets. That's what we thought. We figured it might sell out in time. 30 minutes was fucking nuts. Yeah.
Well, you look at the shows that DeMore's putting on for BCW at St. Clair College.
Uh-huh.
The talent is stacked. They draw 1,500, okay, maybe. You know, one side of the arena, and then it's, you know. So, I mean, again, that's, you know, you can't understate what they did to get this draw.
You know, and a lot of people are giving them shit online saying, oh, well, you got the scalpers and they're all selling tickets for like $1,100. It's like, okay, yeah, people are going to do that for any event.
For
I'm
anything.
Sorry, but it's not like the only reason they sold 10,000 was because scalpers bought everything.
Well, what are you going to do, Trent Reznor it, make you stand in line like at Lakeside Mall at Hudson's?
Foo Fighters, you know, have done it.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, I agree that it's difficult, but at the same time...
See, that'll be an interesting thing to watch, is what the secondary market for those tickets does.
Already some of them, like front row, are going for like $1,100.
But are they going to get sold there, or is there going to be like a glut on the market, and you're going to see shit drop?
Right, which more than likely at that time is what's going to happen, because they made these tickets super affordable. I think the most expensive one was $157 for the first two rows.
Yeah, shit seats were $20.
Yeah, you know they made it accessible for anyone who could attend to attend. And I mean, I'm a little upset at myself that I waited, you know, a little longer than a half hour to purchase a ticket, and I was like, oh, guess I'm out. I could StubHub it, hopefully.
Yeah, and I'm out.
Yeah. But again, it's like you were saying, we can't understate how big this is just for wrestling, period. And then it's not only that, and we're back to the names that I was talking about, there was no major name that came, like CM Punk or something like that.
I think people expect it, and if they don't, there's not going to be an all-in two, or... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to over-deliver the ever-living hell out of this show.
Agreed.
And to say CM Punk, that's bullshit, because he's on an MMA card in what, a month?
A couple weeks.
Couple weeks?
Yeah.
You can't, like, it doesn't work like that.
No, I agree, but you could get him in his first wrestling appearance. It doesn't have to be in a match.
Go see him at the MMA show. I mean, you really want to see CM Punk wrestle now? How long has it been? 5 years?
I honestly am one of the few people that think CM Punk is a very overrated wrestler. I think he's a very underrated talker, but I think he's an overrated wrestler. He was good in the ring, but he wasn't flair. He wasn't, you know, I think Cody
no,
right
new,
now is better in the ring.
New CM Punk is way better.
2 minutes and 36
Seth
seconds.
Rollins.
Oh, Seth Rollins.
Is that like as fancy soon as RoboCop?
No. As soon as they started pushing Seth Rollins, first thing I said is he's new, you know. WWE always replaces someone. They try to make Dolph Ziggler the next Shawn Michaels. Everyone's the next someone. And Seth Rollins was the next CM Punk. And he's done a way better job in the ring and out.
I agree with that.
To to not even care about CM Punk ever again.
Yeah, Punk wasn't able to run with the matches the way Seth Rollins has in the last, what, month and a half?
No, Seth Rollins is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely brilliant in the ring.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
One of the best I've seen in my life.
Yeah, and I wish he was more charismatic, because as good as he is in the ring, he might get a top title run again, but he's way better mid-card right now.
It'll come in time.
Yeah.
Dude, look how long it took Michaels.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching on Saturday morning, man, through the plate glass window. You know what I mean? So I followed that thing close.
Right.
You know, when the early Razor Ramon days, man. Or, I'm sorry, the early Diesel days.
Yeah, when he was...
To what he became when he was wrestling Bret Hart and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full pack crowds.
Yeah.
You know, that took a long time.
Yeah, but a great build. And that's another reason why, segueing into the Roman Reigns controversy. Everyone's all, Roman Reigns, why is he being pushed at the top guy? I mean, he doesn't suck, but I agree that maybe we need to pull him back. You know, a little bit of a mid-card run for Reigns, because while Seth Rollins is blowing everyone's mind in the ring, Roman Reigns is just wrestling well.
So you know what? You know what Roman Reigns, you know what happened? He kept the Shield music, kept the Shield gear. He never got reinvented.
That's a good point. I never even
Ambrose got reinvented. Rollins got reinvented. Right?
Yeah.
And it was like the stale. I don't want to say it was stale because the gimmick wasn't that long lasting anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't Roman Reigns. And he was just like that guy with the Shield music again.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That is a huge thing, because when people are seeing the same, being reminded of what they wanted, but they don't have it anymore, that is kind of a slap in the face.
It's not an annoying thing, because nobody, Bray Wyatt and all that, nobody gives a shit about legacy. Like, nobody, if you get a push because you're daddy.
Right.
Nobody really cares.
No, what I mean is, because people didn't want the Shield to break up when it did. So the people were being reminded, we broke this thing up that you wanted to still be here.
You remember? I remember.
Dude, they break up teams too. Like the Wyatt family, that's almost embarrassing how that went. All the way to Braun Strowman taking everybody out, Bludgeon Brothers, now he's with Matt Hardy. It's like, make up your effing minds.
But again, even with when you broke the Wyatt family apart, Bray was the leader. There was no leader for the Shield, and if there was a leader, it was Seth.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
You know, and then if the way they were pushing it, it was Seth. But so for the lackey who didn't have the run to keep all of the stuff from what was broken apart, that's kind of like, well, we don't want him,
and then,
just him. We want all three of
them.
And
you know what they missed? When Roman Reigns just wouldn't get over, and he kept getting booed, and the Usos went heel, God damn, would that have been an amazing time to bring back the Samoan SWAT team or something to that ilk?
Don't,
because
no.
That shit was part of my youth, man.
No, I'm not saying it was.
And that was, no, it was.
It would have been stupid for WWE to do that. It's the same
reason,
because the same reason you don't turn John Cena heel. They're selling too much merch.
You think they're selling that much Reigns merch?
He is constantly, him and AJ are fighting between number two and three. New Day, Cena's number one. AJ and Roman are going between two and three, and New Day is number four.
Dude, Rusev Day shirts are number one?
Number five.
Oh, it's bullshit.
Yeah, that's what's blowing even more people's mind is Rusev is top five and he's not getting a push.
Listen, that guy should have been the next Iron Sheik the way they were pushing him. The biggest heel in the business, and they give this Aiden English Rusev Day, and like that put him over?
Like, no.
Dude, fans are weird, man.
He was over before WrestleMania 31.
He was with the tank dude.
Yep.
Oh, he was as big as he got in the business. Then he goes and decides, it became a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
When he was, like, seriously, he was the best heel in the business. Him and Kevin Owens, the best heels that the business has seen in 5 years.
Yes.
And you're going to, and now he's over. And now he's trying to be the funny, like a Santino Marella, make joke guy.
But at the same time, he's not. English is the Santino Marella type guy, and Rusev goes in there and kicks ass.
You know? Yeah, but he's still in the back, like when he cuts a promo in the back now, it's one-liners.
Right. But that's all you need from him. Don't give him too much. You give him more than that, people are going to hate the gimmick.
But, again, Iron Sheik, what did he say? USA, Iran, number one. USA, puh.
Yeah.
That's all he ever said. Hulk Hogan, raisin dick. You know, that's all he ever said. Or no, Ultimate Warrior's got the raisin dick. Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. Back when Rusev was being pushed as the Bulgarian brute, not what he is now. That's exactly how he was running.
Yeah.
It was strictly like that, 100%. But they killed that push. And you can't, so
now, they're really fickle. They're really weird. Like, they'll keep dead gimmicks forever.
Yeah.
Then,
like The Undertaker?
Yeah. No, he went through incarnations that you did not know. He was Biker Undertaker. He's probably had eight gimmicks over the last 20 years.
But he's still the Undertaker.
But he was always the Undertaker. When he was the Biker Gang guy, which didn't make any sense because you're supposed to be like a zombie dead guy. Like, trying to explain, that's the best thing, Mikey. We talked about that the other day. If Mark was here right now, he's walking around somewhere. He's the best at trying to explain the Undertaker story. To, like, if you never watched wrestling,
right.
And you're like to my mother, explain it to my mom, what's going on in the ring? Dude, it's the funniest shit you'd ever hear in your life. It's like, well, Mrs. Waldenspiel, what you find is, you know, the Undertaker, like, burned his house down, and Paul Bearer, which was his father, you know, they tried to thought Kane was burned, but he wasn't. He came back to life, and, like, he goes through the whole thing, and it's freaking hysterical. But if you try to break that down in layman's terms, how stupid that character is, and he's the most one of the top three most iconic people in wrestling over my lifetime.
It's which is crazy. And I've always my thing though is I've always said Undertaker's overrated, and the reason
not from back in the day,
no,
late stages. No, it's like, dude, it's like when you watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like in your 20s, and you did not know him from the late 60s all through the 70s. Like Abdul-Jabbar had better numbers than Jordan. All I saw was the shitty Laker years at the end when the Pistons beat him, and that's what you think of him.
No.
With the Undertaker, always, like the last 5 years, he's been toilet in the ring. It shouldn't even be there.
Everything
he has no business being there.
Everything after the first match, sorry, the second match with Triple H, not when they went back-to-back, the first of those back-to-backs.
Can we talk about that, by the way?
Yeah.
I got a problem. WrestleMania to me was one of the worst pay-per-views. They've been getting progressively worse.
This WrestleMania?
Yeah. And what I'm absolutely tired of is the Triple H and wrestling and Shane McMahon wrestling.
The constant legends,
like,
old school.
No, hold on. Like, like when you have Shane McMahon going toe-to-toe with Kevin Owens for a half an hour, doesn't it just bury? Like, you think this is a top talent. These guys are supposed to be bigger than life, right? And now you have Triple H. That's no different than, like, Chauncey Billups right now going to the front office of the Knicks. Then they get into the playoffs, they get into the finals, and Chauncey's going to suit up. It's like, once you put that suit on, man, you're done.
But here's the thing, though. How good was that match? The Triple H, Stephanie versus Angle and Rousey. It was arguably the match of the night, minus the Intercontinental title. But I agree.
Sad, dude. It's so sad.
But at the same time,
AJ Nakamura should have been in that match.
That match screwed. Yeah, it was horrible.
That was one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen in my life.
But that's what I'm saying. Wrestling is the only organization where the older guys are still viable and can come back and put on a spectacle like that. Dude, let me tell you right now, if Chauncey Billups was able to suit up, put on a Pistons jersey, and go and play the way he played back in the day, you wouldn't care because he was still doing good.
Well, Angle's 4 steps slower than he ever has been.
But way better than he was TLC Angle. Like, remember when he was walking, he was like, oh, I can barely move.
Yeah.
But he came to WrestleMania, and all of a sudden he looked like Angle end of TNA run. You know, where it's still good.
But do you understand what I'm saying, though?
What it was.
With the Shane McMahon thing, that's what bothers me the most. It's, I get it, he can fight. But, like, you're telling, it's almost like Mark Cuban playing against Dirk Nowitzki.
I can't
and
argue
holding
that
his own on
we
one-on-one.
Consistently have
Nowitzki,
a bitch about that.
Nowitzki should, like, you know what I mean? Dirk Nowitzki would destroy him in the ring.
Yeah.
Just like, and Cuban has no business on the court.
Yeah.
Right? He can shoot free throws, great, good for him.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Shane McMahon. It's like, I get it, it's cute. But there's, just stop.
Right.
Please.
We have talked many a times on this show, we're just sick of the authority figure being the bad guy or the good guy that someone has to face. Why can't we have a GM like William Regal is in NXT, like the old Tully?
Yeah.
With just, did I say Tully? Tunney?
Jack Tunney.
Tunney, yeah. When Tunney was the manager, he made appearances, made matches, settled things.
I don't think he ever made appearances. I think you just...
Well, I mean, like, the backstage something. Like,
right.
William Regal does it. The only time you see William Regal come in that ring is... The last time he's been in the ring at NXT was when he announced the North American Championship. Right? That was it.
And he's calm and he's collective and he doesn't get involved.
Right. He is 100% neutral.
Just like a business manager, professional.
And Triple H is running that. Similar to how Triple H is now running 205 Live, and you see that 205 Live has made a complete 180 turnaround.
I got to give it another chance because I gave up on it.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people did. When Triple H took it over, go back and give it another chance because, again, now Drake Maverick is running it similar to... He's not involved. It's not an authority figure. These guys are having storylines being very built.
Rockstar Spud, come
yeah,
on.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on. You got to change the name to get to merchandising.
One of the things I loved about, I did the play-by-play for the Kobo show with XICW.
Yeah.
The main event, I believe, was Mad Dragon, Akeem Zane versus Gavin Quinn versus Rockstar Spud
for the
Midwest title. And Spud ended up winning the thing and hit an acid drop on Gavin Quinn. And I don't know how it came back to me because, man, I haven't seen an acid drop from Little Spike Dudley in 15 years. And I did the Jim Ross, man. Acid drop! Acid drop! I was so proud of myself for calling that move.
I was so mad when they got rid of the little from his name when he went to WWE because, obviously...
LSD.
Yeah, because that, right? That was his name. Right. No, he was on LSD when he was created. That's why he was always the run.
See, now, there was no disbelief on that because he was always the giant killer.
Yeah.
Just dropping acid drops on Mike Awesome and... Like, just every Sid Vicious, like every big guy, and, everybody's rest in peace. My God, dude.
You can't play a Royal Rumble drinking game where you take a drink when the person that comes out is dead ever because you're dead.
And that's the thing that was, I'm going to go back to, because, I'm an ECW mark.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me is what I loved about ECW more than anything is you took shit mid-carders, the bottom of the barrel guys, even the low guys, and you made them awesome.
Yeah.
Blue Meanie, Blue World Order.
Paul Heyman is a genius when it comes to giving people strengths and hiding their weaknesses.
Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka match, to me, is top five feuds in ECW history. And if you look at the lineup of talent they had, and I'm saying that was one of the greatest feuds, right? And, I mean, you look at Taz Bam Bam Bigelow. Like, bringing Bam Bam Bigelow back from the dead, man.
Again, that's what Paul Heyman does. He will extenuate your strengths and hide every weakness that you have.
I mean, the Sandman was shit in the ring.
He was an entrance.
Oh, right. He was a 4.5-minute entrance.
Right.
And a couple kendo stick shots and a drink of beer.
Yep.
You know?
And game.
Right. And it was, but it. I think it. You don't have to be a Rob Van Dam every match. And that's what that proved was, sometimes wrestling fans like a break.
Yeah.
I think the Sandman was just that break. Bring in that shit guy that everyone just, you love him.
Yep.
And let it go.
And if you give him the proper push, you can make him look good. But that's going back to the conversation we were having where you were letting younger guys get over. That's what Paul Heyman did. Those mid-card guys, like you said, they became main event guys. It's something that WWE is seriously lacking.
They're horrible at it.
But segueing all the way back to where we started this, All In selling out without those legends, without minus Rey Mysterio, but it's Rey, who is, he's the Hulk Hogan of the Latino community, period.
Midget match.
So them selling out in that fast with the names that they have, does this maybe give Vince, and it has to be Vince because we can't say it's Triple H because Triple H is doing great with NXT. Does this give Vince a look to go, maybe I should concentrate a little bit more on these mid-card guys and stop giving these people over that have been here for so long because they're selling out an arena now faster than I've sold out anything, and all I've done is push the older guys.
How old's your dad?
My dad? That's not a fair. He's only 20 years older than me. So,
okay.
So 57.
So my dad's 77.
Okay.
There's no way I'm changing my old man's mind about anything. Vince McMahon's an old man.
I agree.
He built, his stock's at an all-time high. He's built this global company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me now he's going to change? Ain't happening.
And I'm not, but see, that's also the point of, this is no longer people in his circle that are telling him this. This is something that he is seeing happen. Like, it's not just, hey, we're kind of missing the boat here. No, we'll be fine. It'll be great. Everything's going to go just fine. So, these guys just sold out 10,000 seats in less than 30 minutes. What do you think about that one? That has to put something in his head.
But they're bringing up all the indie talent.
And killing them.
And they destroy them. Not just that, you look at someone like Ty Dillinger, who they just made him nothing.
Yep, 100%.
Like, why do you have to have Breezango and Rhino and Heath Slater and, like, these guys that just get I know the jobber is an important part of the wrestling business. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you can rotate them around just like ECW did.
Yeah.
Look at like some of the, like I said, those weird main events they had, which were, you know, I hate to Meltzer this, but like five-star matches of guys that.
You sure they weren't six-star? Six and a quarter?
Nah, whatever. But like guys that you wouldn't expect to be there. And right. That's cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that, but that's
I don't want Reigns in a main event anymore.
Last 4 years.
Stop.
Last 4 years, Roman Reigns has main evented WrestleMania. He's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool that is the age situation, but it doesn't change the fact that the people don't want it.
And no,
people,
it's... No,
look at Backlash. They fucking walked out on him and Joe. And Joe is one of the best fucking guys that they can put in there right now.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Joe. And you mean to tell me because of Roman Reigns and how shitty that match went? And let's be honest.
He's the Buffalo Bills of wrestling.
Sucked. Yeah. There you go.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're going to forget about him. And it's a shame because, you know, a thing came out today saying, if you showed your little brother that never watched wrestling... picture Daniel Bryan and a picture of Roman Reigns, who are they going to see? And it's like, Reigns is that guy that looks like the 80s, the cartoon character, larger than life, right? But nobody cares. And wrestling business is different now, man.
Yep.
You know, you didn't know who the son of or the brother of when... You didn't know Barry O was Cowboy Bob Orton's brother.
Right, yeah.
You knew Barry O was a shit jobber, and that was it.
Yeah.
You maybe bought a magazine. I mean, I ordered PWI all through my youth.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't tell you the shit on the way inside. And now everyone...
That's the internet age, though, man. Like, that's something that also just had to change. And I agree with you. Kayfabe used to be so strong back in the day. But the only person who really kept kayfabe, and even now is not, is Taker. Taker was the only gimmick that literally transcended kayfabe. When everyone else... And it didn't start his transition.
You never saw him at a bar laughing, telling dick jokes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You never saw his personal life. You know, the only reason you knew Sarah was his wife because you were wondering, why does he have that neck tattoo says Sarah?
Yeah, now it's blocked out.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's covered up because his wife's Michelle.
Right, right.
And now even her, she's posting things of him working out and stuff on Instagram. And while it's...
And he's showing up at MMA, but he's ominous.
Yeah.
Like, he's not there, like, going, yay, Skippy!
Look at me!
No, he's just, like, head down, eyebrows curled.
And that's it. Everyone else... I want to say maybe Taker's the last of the old crop. Not even maybe, he is.
No, he is.
Yeah, he is. He is. And that's why he's still the way he is. But everyone
Gold
else
Dust, internet, maybe.
Who, congratulations to Gold Dust. Just
ridiculous.
Just yesterday celebrated 10 years sobriety.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, yep. So that's awesome. Yeah, 100% got to show all the respect to Gold Dust on that one. Because he said it in a tweet himself. He said that he was... struggling and everything at that time in his career, and then now he's 10 years sober. And you can even say it, like, when he came back with WWE, he was way better than he was when his drug run was going on, especially in WCW.
Come on, the natural, the
but that's when he came back. When he came back from his original, not maybe the original inception of Goldust, but his late inception of Goldust to before he went to WCW,
right?
He was fucked up because of drugs,
yeah.
And when he came back all sober and clean, he had great runs.
I tell you what, I don't... usually I always judge, like, not judge, but when you look at a wrestler, how I always talk about how fluid they are in the ring. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the top fluid guys in the ring, like, just smooth.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, because, like, the first time I saw Carlito in an XICW ring, it was just so smooth and effortless, man. He made it look so easy. And it's not.
No, it's not.
Pro wrestling's probably one of the hardest things in the world to do when you're going on the fly like that. And he just made it look so good.
Yep. And that's something that you have to do. You have to be that entertaining, that good. Joe is coming up right now. Joe, have a seat, sir. Throw on some headphones. Go there. I think those headphones are working. How are you, sir?
Not too bad.
That's good.
How's my volume?
Your volume sounds good. I can hear you.
Cool.
You all right over there?
Yep, just got in.
We're just talking about the how fluid everyone is in the ring. We were giving respect to Goldust, 10 years clean as of yesterday. Bob was over here talking about that, just as far as people who are fluid in the ring, similar to when he saw Carlito and XICW. It's a real difficult thing to do, but these guys can make it look easy because they are that good.
I thought one of the smoothest guys for a long time now has been Randy Orton. I also just read he just got a knee surgery, though. Did you hear that?
Did not hear that.
Yeah, I just read that today.
Wow.
And it was from WWE.com, so it's legit.
Something minimally invasive or something? Or
I don't know. I just read the headline. I didn't read the whole article.
Huh. I'll take a look at that a little bit later, for sure. So where we've been going is talking a little bit more about All In and everything like that, how maybe this is changing the landscape of wrestling. Whereas how WWE's always pushing like the older guys, like in WrestleMania, how Bob was like, you know, you're seeing Triple H again, you're seeing Shane McMahon, which we have consistently said shouldn't be happening all this much. But at the same time, on the flip of that, Triple H and Angle put on the best match at WrestleMania. You know,
I don't know about the best match, but the most entertaining match.
Most, yeah, the best overall match. You know, as far as the best wrestling match, we all said it was the IC title match.
Or it could have been Charlotte Asuka.
Charlotte Asuka was also really good. I agree. Yes. So, and that
I thing, took a poop during that match.
Oh, you missed a great match. I know you're
I'm
not.
Good.
I know you're not a huge women's wrestling fan, but those two, go back and watch it. It's a very good match. So, does this possibly and Bob said no. He said, no, you're not going to change a 77-year-old man's mind. But does this not being from his inner circle or people saying, man, you need to kind of switch this up, maybe make Vince look at it to where how Paul Heyman did in ECW, where it's like, hey, I can make these mid-carders main event level with the right push, and apparently I should do that because they're selling out an arena for over 10,000 seats in less than 30 minutes while I can't put 7,000 seats on a Raw in the middle of the year.
So what do you think it's going to make him do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think it might have him start trying something else? You know, well, obviously Reigns is nowhere near the main event of Money in the Bank. He's going to be facing Jinder Mahal, you know.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't think, I mean, he'll try to do something to compete with that to make it so that doesn't happen again, I think. But as far as him coming from a different angle or thinking outside the box or anything, I don't see much change in his direction. Not until Triple H takes the helm. Sorry.
Well, about that. No. And he just got it. They're just getting this wicked TV deal signed.
Yeah.
Their stock's going through the roof. But he ain't gonna change shit.
But it's like you can always make more money. You can always if you do it right, you can start selling out seats. Your merch will fly more.
Now, here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's the reason why NFL ratings are down, baseball ratings are down. Dude, we are in content overload. You go look at the hours. If you're going to watch shit as is, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour of, is there main event still?
NXT, no.
Yeah, 1 hour of NXT.
I think they brought main event back, actually. I saw
on the weekends,
network.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then
so
you
I
got
saw some new episodes.
Then you have
Superstars.
Or Superstar, whatever.
Yeah.
Then you have 1 hour of 205. Then you got to watch Ring of Honor. Then you got to watch TNA. Dude, we're looking at what?
And New 12? Japan.
And New Japan. Yeah. At least they shorten those up and edit them out. But we're looking at, what, 14 hours a week that we got to sit and watch wrestling?
Yeah.
Dude, I love this shit as much as the next guy. But, man, you look at when I was 21, we had Raw for an hour and shitty Superstars on Saturday morning for a half hour.
Right.
That was it.
And then you started, then finally the Monday Night Wars come along, and at least they're fighting on the same day.
But you were flipping back and forth.
Yeah, so you had stuff to look at. Plus, you had your VCR if you were going to tape it or something and watch the one and go back and watch the other.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I did that sometimes, I'll admit. I did do that.
Well, my DVR right now, all it is wrestling and Sunday night shows. And so right now, I bury through the week's wrestling in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, nobody's got. That's about all much time I have to consume anything.
Yeah.
I can't watch a full baseball game anymore. Like,
unless I'm there.
Unless you're there, right, because you're stuck. But I mean, we're in content overload. Now you got to keep up with this and the storylines. And they're getting more ridiculous how they change. Wait a minute, he's buddies with this guy, you know.
Right.
There's nothing. There's no year long feuds going on anymore. It just.
No. And
they're not even feuds. They're not good. What's a good feud right now? I can't even. You're going to say AJ Nakamura, and I'm just saying they just wrestle against each other. That's not a feud. Hit them in the nuts. That doesn't constitute a feud.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's one of those things where they are not pushing storylines the way they used to. Maybe, hopefully, something can change because right now, we've said it on our show many a times. when they were having two fucking pay-per-views a month, one for Raw, one for SmackDown, that was killing a lot of time.
Brutal.
And now they're doing it to where it's one pay-per-view a month, but it's a combined show. And I wish they would go to one pay-per-view a month where one's Raw, the next one's SmackDown, and then you have your five that are...
It'd give more time to build proper feuds, yeah. But I don't think that they believe fans have the attention span for longer feuds these days. I think that's their mentality behind their booking recently.
And the other problem with that is they're saying, oh, they don't have the attention span for this. Well, now we only have one show for that feud. You know, it's anyone on Raw is not on SmackDown. So you're watching one show a week to build this feud. You know, and you're trying to make people care about this feud, this feud, this feud, this feud here, and then this feud, that feud, that feud there. You know, and so like you were saying, with the content overload, you have to at least extend it so people can have a chance to get into it. Because while it is a very what have you done for me lately business, the problem is I don't know what you've done lately because it's just flying so fast.
And I get the Mahal thing.
It's hotshot booking, 50-50 booking, yeah. You know, stuff with no thought behind it. Just throwing things in there, you know?
Right.
And I get the Mahal thing because you were trying to break into India. But, man, anything that guy. I never thought. When I went to Hell in the Cell? Was it Hell in the Cell?
Yeah.
Whatever it was,
yeah.
With Joe Louis.
Yep. Yeah, I was there too.
Man.
Same.
If anyone could have made Bobby Roode look bad, it was that guy. Like, I thought that was impossible to make, you know, to me, Roode. Hold on a minute now. To make Roode a face is, I'm beside myself.
Bobby Roode is a heel playing a face just like Elias is a face playing a heel.
He's a face just because of that entrance of his.
Yeah.
You can be a dick, though. I think I saw a Twitter post where some guy said, Bobby Roode should be coming out and telling me how much more money he has than me and telling me how small my dick is.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Which is what he was doing in NXT, what Triple H was booking. Vince, again, as we've stated, you know, over and over, we can bury Vince all we want, and which we gladly do, because when he does wrong, we will gladly say he does wrong. Bobby Roode, he's like, oh, man, yeah, the entrance is great. So what we're going to do is we're going to make you a face because everyone loves your entrance. People were singing along with that entrance in NXT and booing his ass in the ring. You know, it's very possible to do that.
Well, and then the lines are blurred between face and heel these days in wrestling. Anyway, if you look at it, every time someone goes, AJ Styles, Nakamura, AJ, like the crowd split on almost every match these days, unless it's a Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, the little kids are cheering them maybe, but.
Let's go, Roman.
Roman sucks.
Yeah, exactly. It's so blurred now. I don't even know what they know to do with these guys.
No,
and plus everybody comes out of character on social media and stuff. You know, they see a heel on TV and then a nice guy doing a lot of things for charity in real life, and they project it all over social media.
Right.
That doesn't help. I mean, we all know kayfabe is dead, but still, you want to protect it somewhat. I think at least protect an image or try to project an image.
Which is something that Kevin Owens is doing. Remember when Kevin Owens got shit for not giving this kid an autograph? And on social media, he goes, I'm the guy that you're not supposed to, like, shut up and deal with it.
Yeah, Jericho still does
it. He gets it.
Yeah,
he gets
exactly.
It.
You can extend
that's the reason,
your image.
That's why you can't make Cena heel, because then he's like, hey, you just broke the record for Make-A-Wish.
Right.
It's like the Iron Sheik never did Make-A-Wish, right. So, like, you're stuck. He's Hulk Hogan.
And that's the thing that's why Roman Reigns will never go heel. While, sure, a bunch of wrestling fans are booing him, he's doing Make-A-Wish like Cena was back in the day. You know, it's very possible that Roman Reigns could get close to Cena's number. I don't want to say top because it took Cena 500 is nuts. But it's crazy that Roman Reigns, well, he's just always going to be face, and you're going to have, we have to deal with it. The problem is,
it's still early enough on, I think, in Roman's career to do that and bring him back to a face later with more effectiveness.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Headlining the last four WrestleManias, being so over, like, if it was Rock when, like, because Rock was die, Rocky, die.
Well, let's be, this last WrestleMania.
And then he went Nation of Domination, yeah.
This last WrestleMania that he headlined with Brock Lesnar didn't go so well. You know, I mean, it was.
People are getting tired of Lesnar now, too.
People completely rejected it, you know. And I know, we all know, we read the reports, Vince also was not happy after that match.
Yeah.
So, why wouldn't it be still too early? Obviously, it's not getting over in the spot that it should be getting over, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, when they were talking about Cena switching heel, I mean, he was already to that point. You know, it was past the point of no return.
Right.
It's not with Roman, I don't think.
See, you can't. You can't nowadays. Because there's not that beloved character. There's not that super hated character. People cheering for Rusev now. And
right.
There, it's not like Hogan getting in the NWO where you're just like, holy shit.
Right.
You can't have that moment now because it can't exist. There's, you know what I mean? There's not one wrestler that's universally booed or universally cheered.
I thought that the best example of something coming close to that recently was Tommaso Ciampa at TakeOver before Mania. That was true white hot heat.
And coming out with no music and the crowd
and
just
hating and how do you get that in a, today's age?
That was genius.
Where kayfabe is dead.
But see, that's the thing. He doesn't break kayfabe. And right. We go right back to social media.
They were booing him. Like old school boos. Like when people booed when they thought wrestling was real. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that in today's day and age where it's all, everyone knows it's a work.
There was more emotion in that Gargano-Ciampa match that I have seen in probably the last 15 years.
That was amazing. That was by far the match of the entire weekend. I mean, that was insane.
And then you go to WrestleMania and it's like, shit.
Right.
Like compared to, there's no, like how do you don't go from that to that?
How much time, Mikey, have we spent talking about how NXT outperforms the main roster shows the next day every single time?
Yep. And that same thing is going to happen June 16th. NXT TakeOver Chicago is going to be better than Money in the Bank the next night.
It's
going to happen.
It's almost like without fail now.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the way it's going
to
be.
You know what? I mean, here's the thing. Like, is anyone ever going to get sent back to NXT? Like, if you look at, like, the Ascension.
The Revival just went back.
Did they go back?
They had a match with Undisputed Era. The Revival literally just took on Undisputed Era in a tag team match. Yeah.
Answered by that question.
I don't know
if it was on TV. I did just see it. It may have been on TV. But if that's the case, why not? Why not actually make NXT a part of your brand split? Like, we have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Make it like that. So therefore, other people can go from Raw, from SmackDown to NXT and not make it seem like a demotion. Because in all honesty, I think going to NXT is a fucking promotion. One, you got less dates to work. You know? Sure, you're probably setting up
the ring
and stuff
again. It's all in the same building for the most
part. You're filming 3 weeks of content in one night, right? Maybe 4 weeks. So there's less days to work. You're going a lot more travel time. You might, depending on who you are, you might have to set up the ring, not break down the ring and everything like that. But NXT as a fan base is much stronger, is much hotter, and the shows are so much better than Raw or SmackDown that if I was to hear, you're going to see Dolph Ziggler go down to NXT. Okay, cool.
That'd be hot as shit.
Yeah.
It would all depend, I guess, on if the pay structure would differentiate greatly from the talent as far as going from main roster to NXT. You know, I don't know if those NXT guys, they might be making a significant less amount of money than the main roster guys, you know?
Right.
That could create an issue.
But you also have to think that maybe this NXT money has to be going up, man. It's got to be. Because they're doing so much. They're selling out so many shows. The reason the network is still strong is because of NXT. Let's be very honest right now. The only reason that WWE Network kept going after those first two floundering years was because of how good NXT was.
I know they sell out all their takeovers. They stay in full sale for their TVs. I don't really know what their sales are like for when they go on the road for their live events.
They sell out everywhere.
I know they recently came here.
Comic-Con announcement. Everybody, just so you know, Breaking Down the Ring is performing right now live at the Podcast Detroit booth. If you go to aisle 605, 608 is the booth that they're at. You can go and you can see Joe, you can see Bob, and you can see that fat Mikey piece of shit talk about wrestling for the next 20 minutes. Thank you for listening to us at the Comic-Con.
From parts unknown, weighing in tonight at 275 pounds,
Mikey's right leg!
Mikey!
Joe, yeah, just talk over it. We can hear you.
I forgot what I was saying, actually. I was so enthralled with the Comic-Con announcement. I just lost my train of thought. We're still on the
So you know what I want
to... NXT selling out NXT the live events. Yeah, so you were saying that they do sell out the live events. Oh, that's right. I was saying they were just here recently at the Royal Oak Music Theater.
Sold out.
So,
Sold out in.
Did you go to that one?
3 hours. I was there, front row.
I did not make it to that one. I did make it to Ring of
Lacey
Honor.
Lacey Evans retweeted our picture.
That's right. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. What did you want to talk about there, Bob? You about to mention something?
No, it's something way off topic.
Go, let's do it, man. We're floating here. We're floating, so, here, and it all comes back. We're really good at segues here.
Had a great conversation with somebody regarding the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO. Did you see it?
Yes, loved it.
So here's what I don't get. It's funny. Like, you had this kind of myth legend, and I go, well, can that ever be replicated ever again in history? Because you look at, like, the people that have come after that have been in that mythical size stance, mm-hmm. right? From the Big Show,
Great Khali,
to Khali, and like, no one gives a shit. Like, everyone almost is like, you'd think Khali would be in that mythical stance as Andre. Andre, all he did was, like, throw chops and
right
hands. He wasn't a great wrestler.
Not at all.
But he became this iconic figure. Like, why? But then, like, that we make fun of the Great Khali for.
Well, again,
I know it's a different era in wrestling, and people thought it was real, and they wanted to see this large person. But is that common now, or nobody cares?
Here's the thing: I personally do not think it can happen, and it's not because of the kayfabe. I think it's because of what we were talking about earlier—the overexposure. If you saw Andre every fucking week,
Andre was presented as special.
Yeah. He would show up in the territory for 3 weeks, as they said on the show, and then move. And you weren't seeing Andre for months.
He was basically part-time.
Yeah.
You know, so when he came around, it was special. I mean, they oversaturated us so much with Big Show and Khali, and, you know, they made fools out of him. Big Show's had, what, 40 heel turns?
Right.
Come on, man. I mean,
come on, Kurgan, man.
Orlando Christopher said it best. He goes, because while you had mentioned people are getting sick of Brock, he goes, the only reason people are sick of Brock is because he has the title. If Brock was still popping up as just a guy to fight, he would still have that mythos about him. But right now, people are so pissed that their champion is not on the show more often than he is. Because if Brock Lesnar was just coming to fight in WWE at a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania, and it was just because somebody was talking shit and it was a special match, Brock could have
dude,
that.
Hence we why, are...
Hence why Andre pretty much never had the belt.
Yeah.
You know?
We're spoiled as fans. I never saw... You never saw Hulk Hogan on Saturday Morning Superstars.
No.
Yeah.
You were lucky to see him on Saturday Night's Main Event.
You barely ever got to see a name wrestle a name on those shows. It was usually a name squashing a jobber.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
You know?
And you were happy.
Yeah, you were. Because you saw the guy you wanted to root for win.
Right. And you saw the vignettes for that new team coming that you had no idea who they were.
Yep.
Now, you know, like, I was just talking to Mark the other day about the Beverly Brothers. Like, if you would have known that they were the Minnesota Wrecking Crew and Wayne Beverly and Mike Enos. And, you know what I mean? They're like, cool, they're here. Like, it's kind of like, no, you can't hide.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, the Razor Ramon. Like, you didn't know he was Big Scott Hall in the AWA because you never got to see him.
Right.
Right now, like, Finn Balor comes up and you knew his last 2-3 names.
Prince
and you
Devitt,
knew
Fergal, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Ran the Bullet Club, so on and so forth.
And it was like, now he's a new character, new name, and I get it. You know, Han Solo and Indiana Jones, I get it.
Yeah.
But still... all the disbeliefs wiped clean.
Yeah.
Gone.
And again, it's mainly four things regarding the popularity and the way they do social media, because it goes right back to what Joe was saying with Tommaso Ciampa. He even now, still on social media, literally put out a tweet the other day that I read that he was like, he goes, are you offended by things I'm saying on my Twitter? I don't give a shit. Unfollow me then, because this is my Twitter. This is how I'm handling my business. Get the fuck away from me. He basically just ripped the entire, anyone that was upset about it.
And
he's
said
like, fuck you, I don't care.
He won't do interviews, he won't do podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing it. He's keeping in character.
He is the most old school guy in wrestling right now, outside of Undertaker.
He knows he knows this is his shot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you followed him, wasn't he going to commit suicide?
Yeah.
Like, 6 years ago?
He talked about that on a Colt Cabana podcast, I believe it was.
Yeah. So. And he, you know, but if you followed him for any time, the amount of, like, when I first saw him in Ring of Honor, he was massive.
Yeah.
And now he's a little twig. Like, he's gone through, like, these body transformations.
No, he put it, he's massive again.
But he's building back up, but he's still, like, he's cut. Like, I mean, like, wickedly cut. Like,
ridiculous.
Finn Balor cut.
Yeah.
You know, like
where he's got 72 abs.
You eat a
on the
burger
left side.
For Christ's sake, right? but like, you know, he's probably going through demons, and now he knows, dude, this is his shot.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: they're going to bring him up to Maine, and he's going to get buried.
I don't want him on Maine right now. I think I would love.
But it's inevitable.
I mean, yeah, it's inevitable for everyone. But at the same time, I honestly think Triple H would fight for Ciampa the way that he's going right now, his social media, his stature down there. I would love to see a Ciampa Aleister Black feud for that title. Would love it.
He's grown on me. I didn't like him in the beginning.
Black?
Yeah.
I'll agree. When he was different when he first came in.
He grew on me. He's grown on me a lot.
He's really good.
He took some flack at first for just being, people thought that he was just a pure striker and didn't have any wrestling or grappling ability, but the more you watch him, the more you see that he's well-rounded and can do pretty much anything in the ring.
His matches with Velveteen Dream, fucking spectacular.
Oh my God, Mikey, Mark just got here.
Mark's here!
Hold on. Mark's got to talk about... Mark, you know, one of my favorite things you've ever done in your life was tell the story how The Undertaker and Kane and Paul Bearer. Get in on the mic. Pushes mic closer, Mikey.
Mark sitting down right now, putting on some headphones. Can you hear in those headphones? That's because they were folded.
It's the beauty of podcasting. We'll edit this out.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mark.
So before, while you were walking around, I was telling the story. I was explaining wrestling to like my mom that doesn't watch it. Like when, like back in the day, like it always was never failed when like your dad would walk in the room and Doink the Clown would be like beating up like gobbledygooker, and you're like, God damn it! Like you wanted it to be cool, but like when you sat and explained the Undertaker thing, I still haven't laughed so hard in my life.
So break down the Undertaker as if you were breaking it down to someone who has just watched wrestling for the first time yesterday.
Oh, I gotta try and remember this now.
Way to put you on the spot.
Were they separated at birth?
I don't remember.
But fire in the
anyway,
house.
Anyway, there was a fire in the house. Their parents died. And Paul Bearer took away Kane.
Right.
To raise him as his own.
Oh.
And then he went to dental school.
Right.
And hooked up with Jerry the King Lawler. And somehow The Undertaker was reunited with Paul Bearer. And then he failed at dentistry, went to wrestling school, and somehow he got burn marks after the fact from the house fire as a child.
Right, no, it was only a figment of his imagination, because that's what he saw in the mirror, was a burn victim, but he really wasn't, because he was fine. And in the meantime, the Undertaker, who's supposed to be dead, now becomes a biker gang.
In the meantime, Ultimate Warrior is training to face the Undertaker by being put in a room full of snakes.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Holy shit, I did too.
This is after the black tar came out of Ultimate Warrior's head from Papa Shango,
right?
Don't call it fake.
Right?
It's not tickle butt at all.
Not
at all.
That's Joe's line for it. It's not. We don't call it fake on our show. We call it tickle butt. Anything that's just, yeah, right, Braun Strowman just pulled over that entire fucking wall onto everybody, yeah, tickle butt.
Right.
Braun Strowman lifted an entire semi, tickle butt.
That's good. When I saw that, I'm like, they're really trying to pull that shit off again. Yeah. It's so 80s.
Yeah, 100%.
So I know, you know, standard pieces of equipment for putting up stages in the back are grappling hooks.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, because Braun Batman is what he did.
Right, Braun Man.
I do want to mention something about Braun Strowman before we sign off, because In the Box is coming on next in just a minute or two. We have made consistent jokes about Braun Strowman being Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
And right. He's here today.
He's here today. But here's the thing. So we have always said that every time he comes out, instead of saying Braun, he was always like, nerds. I walked by Ogre. He looks just like fucking Braun Strowman now. So I need to get something. We're gonna go say hi to him. We're probably going to get an autograph. And I want to get him signing something to say, Braun Strowman stole my gimmick.
He'll do whatever you want, because we had him do a show ID for us.
Really?
And he's like, what do you want me to say? I'm like, I don't know, dude, you're the pro. Like, some guys like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you say, what he's saying, he, hey, folks, Hacksaw, you know, he knows what to do. He was, Ogre was like, whatever you want. So I was like, holy shit. So I was like, Ogre, you asshole. And I'm like thinking in my head, like, what do you want me to say? So he's like, we're listening to a couple nerds. Nerds! You
know? Does he have any first and 10 photos at his table?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Leslie Cruncher.
Why? Why? And he's got blood sport.
That's what I was just about to say. Has he got some blood sport photos?
Absolutely.
Over there? Oh, sweet.
He did. He goes, what do you want me to say? What if C-A-T really spelled dog? I go, there's no Revenge of the Nerds 2 here. I go, all right, Raj. Like, no. Like,
we're VIPs.
Right. Hotel Coral Essex.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us on Breaking Down the Ring. We might be a little on more a little bit later, possibly. You never know what's going on. We definitely will be on tomorrow at noon here at Motor City Comic Con. So if you guys are paying attention to the live show, feel free to listen to us Sunday, May 20th at noon. We will be going live from the Podcast Detroit booth here at Motor City Comic Con. Mark, thank you so much for coming
no
on.
No problem, and make sure you pay your taxes if you haven't done so.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
IRS.
Bob, you overperformed the sell, man. You came on here. And
I know.
You just fucking rocked it out.
I know. Because my shoes cost more than your house, that's why.
That's very true.
They smell worse than your house, too.
You know what?
Not true.
You know what you're talking to? You're talking to the Shinola wearing, Pabst jacket wearing, VW driving, coach flying, sausage eating, beer drinking, German son of a bitch, and I'm having a hard time keeping these extra white sketches down.
You've got Pabst smeared all over your chest.
Joe, awesome having you here, brother. We're going to walk around the Comic-Con. If you guys are here and you're listening live and you want to see us, we got some cards. We'll sign some autographs because no one's going to ask us for autographs. But whatever. You never know.
Say goodbye, Mikey.
Goodbye, Mikey.
Beat it.
Just beat it. Beat it. Gotta sign off real quick. And we are out. Just got to put in some passwords.
You didn't like my Shinola wearing bit?
That was great.